Hello. This is Guy Ostrov, and I'm pleased to start the sixth of our 10 sessions. We've had a break for a couple of weeks over Hanukkah. I hope your Hanukkah was filled with light and simcha. In this sixth session, we're going to and then we're going to go on to another area called the pulse of life. First, I want to discuss some concepts. We say that Chazal tells us that just as Hashem is the center of the universe, Hashem has planted a neshama within us that becomes the center of our own beings. And everything we are learning in this program is based on learning how to be in touch with the center of ourselves. When we learn about Ari and his deeper self, we learn about principles in our thoughts. We learn about the centering that all of these things that we're learning, these concepts, point us in one direction. They point us in the direction of that deeper self, the center of who we are, from which our real kochos, our real intelligence, flows. This is the source of our bechira. This is that center of ourselves by which we are able to perceive the Ribbon Shalom in our world. From the center, we understand Amunah and Bitochen and Shalom and Shalva. And from the center, we achieve great things. I want to describe a situation that happened just a couple of days ago. There's a young man who's come to see me. He was referred to me by one of the late who, from time to time sends people to see me. And this young man is a very special, very sensitive boy. But he's had one challenge, a very difficult challenge throughout his life. And the difficult challenge is that his mother, Rachmana Litzlan, is the daughter of Holocaust survivors. And she herself was brought up in a very depriving and chaotic environment of people who survived the Shoah, the Holocaust, in Guf, but not in the Shema. They were broken people. And because of that, they gave their daughter very little. And this daughter went on to have her own children. And what she was able to give her children was very limited. So as this boy grew up, and he understood that his mother was different than other mothers. Her inability to give, care, be concerned, He looked at other mothers and saw there was something different. At the felt, as they say. And throughout his life, he said to himself, when I grow up, I'm going to find somebody who can be a real mother to me, which we know is not going to, doesn't work very well in a marriage, but that's how this little boy dreamed. And now this boy is in his mid-20s, and he's having a difficult time in Shidduchim. That's why he was sent to me. So he told me, after a number of sessions, he told me that he was having a very, when he's with his mother, he has a very difficult time. If he feels a sense of anger towards her. He sees her as a woman who tried her best, but it was very much less than what he needed. And he feels the results of what he didn't get in his anxiety and his self-esteem. And I've been working on him, and he's doing wonderfully well. But one area that he found more challenging than other areas is that when he's with his mother, he can't help but feel a sense of anger at her, which he doesn't express, but how can he, well, he doesn't know how to turn it off, of disappointment, of resentment. Why weren't you like other mothers? Why didn't I have someone who could care about me? Why did you leave me this way? And this has tormented him for many years because he's a Ben Torah. He attempts to be a very serious boy, and he knows how to learn. And he has a band that he trusts, and he's Yerushimayim. So you can well imagine he has a mitzvah to be father to his mother. And he's with her, he has all these feelings. So he learned centering. And he was going to be with his mother over at Shabbos, off in Yeshiva. And he called me afterwards, and he said to me that for the first time in his life that he can ever remember, he was able to be in his mother's Dalet Amos without feeling angry. He felt an inner sense of calm. In a sense of balance. For the first time, he's never known it before. He said to him, what an incredible achievement done in just a few weeks where others struggle their whole lives. So, and there are many, many stories like this. Because when a person is in touch with the center of self, it creates that inner sense of comfort, that inner sense of balance. The gentleness of the touch of fingers, the gentleness of touch of fingers reminds us of the gentleness of who we really are. We're not angry people. Hashem did not create us as angry. We have anger within us. We can use for the right things. To be Sona Yisrael, yes. Sona Hashem, yes. But we use that. That doesn't use us. Hashem created us with an inner sense of delicate, meshy. And so it's almost like those of you drive a car, an anti-lock braking system that prevents the car from skidding because it kind of keeps the wheels right in the middle of the road back and forth, just the way we keep our hands together, touching, any fingers, any place. That reminds us of that gentleness within self. I came across a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara asks, why doesn't certain species of lulav, they don't use a species of lulav, why? Because He says that on that species of lulav, there are kotzim. And if there are kotzim, we can hurt ourselves. Acher darche noam. Just like the Torah's derech is noam. The inner self is noam. It's a deeper, quieter self, a gentle self that we're touching. And that's what this young man was touching when he was with his mother. He wanted to know, where did the anger go? What happened to my anger? It's ki'ilu that it was supposed to be there. If I went through this in my life, then I should be angry. No, it's not true. Barsham doesn't want you to be angry. Barsham wants you to understand. He wants you to be misgaber over your anger. He wants you to take that anger and use it when you need to use it. He doesn't want it to use you. You have to be the CEO. You have to be the boss over your emotions, particularly your angry emotions, your nervous emotions. So, now, so the concept that we're coming away with, we use a concept that says the balance of power. If we use it in politics, the balance of power. Everybody shares power, but we're saying something else. We're saying balance is power. Because when we feel centered, when we experience being centered, we feel a sense of empowerment. We feel a sense of inner strength. We're comfortable. We know that our anger or that our anxiety is not going to overwhelm us. We are using this inner self of Meshi to know who we really are and to guide us, whether we're with a child or a parent or a classroom, or as I said, someone who I know has a sense of anxiety when he davens for the Amid, gets an Aliyah. So I watch this person now when he gets an Aliyah, because I daven with him, I taught him this. And I see when he gets up to get an Aliyah, and he used to frequently kind of stumble and begumgame his words. Now when he gets up, I see his hands are together when he gets up to the Sefer Torah. And when he puts his hand on the Eitz Chaim, he puts one hand over here, one over here, all the Eitz Chaim. And he was centering so well, and now he even davens with the Amid. It's a wonderful thing to watch him. Balance is power. And we see this in so many situations over and over again. So, I hope that you have been using centering in your own life and learning its many, many applications. Even if you use it in once a day and begin to sense that your feeling of self as you get centered. And some of you, hopefully will be using it in many ways. I would like to go on now to discuss another area that non-centering in terms of helping us learn to calm down, to relax, and to feel our deeper sense of self. And I call this gate of personal empowerment, I call it the pulse of life. Let me describe how I came across this exercise, this meditation, which we will do, and it's a very interesting meditation. It may be a little bit tricky for some of you, but once you learn it, you want to use it over and over and over again. About 10 years ago, I walked into shul on a Sunday morning and it was Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. It's about 10 years ago. That Rosh Chodesh, that year, there were two Rosh Chodesh Adar. I remember very distinctly because the usual Baal Tshuva, who has Yahrzeit, was saying Kaddish, was not davening, and somebody else was davening instead of him. And this person began to daven Shmoneh Esrei. And halfway through Shmoneh Esrei, I heard him stop, and he started to choke. And he wasn't choking in a dangerous way, he just couldn't say the words. And the whole shul, the whole base medrash, just paused and didn't know what to do because he was here, Chazor Shashan. And the words weren't coming out. After a few minutes, he finally was able to speak again, and he finished saying Shmoneh Esrei, Chazor Shashan, and then he managed to say hello, and throughout it, you can see that he was coughing and he was choking on his words. And this person knows how to daven, he's davened before. So he came over to me, and he knew that I deal with anxiety sometimes. So he told me he wanted to speak to me. So, certainly I knew why we spoke, and he couldn't understand what happened. And we discussed anything bothering him, or did he have any pressures. And he said no, but then he came back to me the next day and he realized what had happened. The night before, many of you will remember, was the challenge, the spaceship Columbia that had an Israeli astronaut on board. His name is Ilan Ramon. And that spaceship was supposed to land Rachmanov Slon on a Shabbos morning. But when people came up from shul that Motzei Shabbos, they found that that spaceship had crashed in the atmosphere and it burnt. It was a big tragedy. This particular person who was the Baal Tshuva told me that when he went home, when he came from shul the night after Shabbos, and he listened to the radio, or maybe it was on the internet, he heard of this terrible, terrible tragedy that the space shuttle Columbia had crashed and burned. He knew that Ilan Ramon, the Israeli astronaut, was on it. And he was very... He remembered what he had forgotten is that during his sleep he had a dream, and the dream was that he was in the space capsule as well with Ilan Ramon, and he saw this Israeli burning up in space. And it shook him up. It really got him, he felt very upset by it. He forgot the dream, but he remembered it the next day. And he told me now he understands what happened, because during Shmoneh Esrei, he remembered the dream. He remembered the face of this astronaut, whether he saw him or the image of him burning up. And at that moment, he couldn't speak. So he said to me, okay, it's a one-time event, but I have a problem now. I'm afraid to daven. And not only that, but I have Yahrzeit coming up in a few weeks. And I'm afraid that the same thing is going to happen. Can you help me? So I tried to teach him a few things, but they really weren't working very well because the shock of that dream left him feeling very upset. And I began to experiment with different things to try to help him. One thing I began to experiment with was something that I had been using for quite some time. And that is learning to use my pulse, the beat of my pulse, to quiet myself down. I had been doing it for quite some time on my own, but I had never used it with anyone. So I decided I was going to try to put together an exercise for him and to teach him how to use his pulse and to see if it would help him. And I did, and he used it, and it helped him. And he actually got through the yard site, was able to be a ball killer again, and he's been fine ever since. This pulse exercise, which I began about 10 years ago, before I began to learn about nefesh, plays a very important role in my work with people. And we're going to learn it. It's very important to learn it. Personally, and working with people, it opens up a whole new world. I've taught it to countless people, hundreds of people, maybe even thousands in my books and lectures. And I have so frequently heard wonderful stories about how this pulse of life meditation has helped many people. I want to give you a few of them so you'll understand. Probably the wildest I've ever come across was a chassid, he was a satmar chassid, and he was about 21. Now he wasn't married, and everybody in his shir was either a chassid or married. He was the only person in the whole shir that wasn't married, and it bothered him very much. The problem was he had a tremendous, tremendous stutter. And when you spoke to him, you see he was megam game. It was noravayom. You couldn't speak to him. The girl went out with him, and she couldn't speak to him. And just after a few minutes, the girl gave up. You know, she wants to get married, but how could she marry this guy? And he had been to many therapists and the speech therapists and psychologists. So I had the kitzur. I had seen him a couple of times, and I said to him, "I want to teach you an exercise." And he said, okay. And I taught him the pulse exercise. He's supposed to come the next week. He didn't come the next week. About 2 weeks later, I was driving home. I had to go out to Lakewood. And he calls me. And answered the phone. I was in the car. He says, Yitzchak, he says. Yitzchak, where are you? He says, Mazel Tov. I'm a chassan. I said, Yitzchak, you're a chassan. I said, yeah. I said, how did you become a chassan so quickly? He says, I took the exercise. I did the exercise every day. I went on a bashaw, and now I'm a chassan. Right? Yeah. Truth is, I tried to teach this to other people who were studying. It didn't help them. I think he had a tremendous sense of motivation, and he was able to use it very well. But over the years, I've been able to teach it to many, many people. The girl came in 2 days ago. She was a young woman. She was about 22, 23. She's been dating, and she feels a sense of anxiety within herself. It's always there. She functions very well. She's a professional. She's an accountant. But that feeling of anxiety that she had, it doesn't cripple her. She's able to function. She has friends. But she does feel it. She feels it on dates. And she's alone. And it never seems to go away. And I taught her the pulse exercise. And it just was such a surprise that she could feel so relaxed that she had never felt this way before. And she told me so. Now, let me describe what the pulse exercise is, because it's an exercise that you can use for people who have headaches, anxiety, panic, stomach aches, back aches, a whole palpitations of the heart, shallow breathing, kotzer ruach, as they say. It's it. And when you're dealing with either people who are married, people who are single and dating, people who are anxious, they need to learn frequently how to quiet down, because if they can quiet down, the anxiety does not let them experience a sense of self. So the pulse exercise, the pulse of life, has a number of different elements. I'll describe what they are. And then I'm actually gonna do the exercise with you, so you'll experience it. Let me explain the different elements to the exercise. The first thing is you learn to, you have a pulse. You feel your pulse. Now you can feel your pulse in two places. You can feel it, right? You know where you can feel it, on your wrist. There's some people who can, I prefer to feel it in the carotid artery in the neck. And the strongest pulse is on your temples. It's right above my glasses. You'll feel a vein there. And if you touch that vein very gently and close your eyes, you'll feel tell a person to feel their pulse. Now, many people have never done this before. They don't know if they can't even feel their pulse. They've never tried it. I've only come across very, very few, maybe 3 or 4 people in doing this for about 10 years and doing this with many, many people, finding people who couldn't find their pulse. And usually those people who couldn't find their pulse because they're so anxious that they are unable to feel the gentle rhythm of the pulse. You may also find that some people who are very thin, maybe about 10% of the people who I taught this exercise, if they're very thin, the pulse will make them feel very nervous. Why that is, I don't know, but I found that to be the case. Now, once a person feels the pulse, we then teach them how to breathe a little bit. And once we teach them how to breathe, then we teach them about I call the white light. The white light is that we say in Chazal, we say when we're on tefillin, Hashem Shabamochim. We have a neshama in here. In the pulse exercise, we learn to use the pulse and the breathing to be aware that we have a neshama. And that neshama, we begin to define what the neshama is in the exercise. And how the neshama has all the shi'isas in life. And then we create a dialogue between pulse and neshama. I'll describe the dialogue to you. And then from there, we create a feeling of calmness using the white light. Now, there are countless ways to use this exercise. The way I'm going to do this one is just by focusing on general anxiety. So we're going to do it, and I'd like you to follow it. For those of you who, I'm going to ask you to take a moment to try to find your pulse. You can have a silent moment. And for those of you who can't find it, now you'll be able to hear the recording, and in the recording you'll be able to follow the pulse. Also in the recording, the feeling of the pulse sensation will come and go. But don't worry if it comes and goes, because this is something you're practicing, and you'll have a recording and you'll be able to use it as frequently as you want. The usual pulse exercise takes about 10 minutes to do. This may take a little bit shorter, probably about 8 minutes, but that's the general, and when I do it with somebody, I always record it, because I record it for them. If they have a if they have a dataphone, something to put on the recording application of the dataphone. If they don't, I'll tell them to come in with a with an MP3 player to record it. Or sometimes I'll record it myself and email it to them. But today most people here and in Israel, I'm sure it's different because people don't have dataphones. But you can tell them to bring in a recorder and you can do it that way. But don't do the pulse exercise with someone unless firstly you've tried it on your own many times and you really have it down pat. You can try it on the people who you know. And then when you do it, when you teach it to someone, always make sure that you're recording it because they'll never be able to duplicate it without you. It'll be a bracha levatola. So that's why it's so important. So we're going to do the pulse exercise now. So I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to ask each of you to take about 30 seconds and to see if you can find your pulse. It can be in your wrist, over here, right? Using your thumb gently in your wrist or in your carotid or on your temple. Take another moment. Okay. So, as I say, if you've been able to find the pulse, just hold it. And if you have not been, just keep your finger there anyway. And you'll be able to follow the exercise, even if you can't feel your pulse. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get yourself comfortable as you possibly can. And feel your pulse. And I'd like you to close your eyes. And as you feel your pulse, I'd like you to count 5 beats of your pulse and take a nice, easy, full breath, counting silently. And now I'd like you to repeat once again, counting 5 beats of your pulse, followed by a nice, easy, full breath. And I'd like you to repeat the process 3 more times. So all in all, you'll have counted your pulse 5 times, 5 beats each time, followed by a full breath, and permit the 5th and final breath to be fuller and deeper than the previous breath. And I'd like you to be aware now that in the top of your head, or even inside your head, where Chazal says, Haneshama Sheba Mochi, there is, I'd like you to imagine, gentle white light, warm and soft, maybe like a gentle mare, or maybe a warm satiny pillow, silk or satin pillow, or a cloud. Whatever it is, it's warm and soft and has light. And this gentle white light on your head is that part of you, your deeper self, that understands life so deeply. It represents all your she'ithus in life. So perhaps it understands your desire to be an Eved Hashem, to do chesed, to help people get closer together, perhaps this white light enables you to feel your own desire to be closer to those you love, to do chasadim, to learn, to make sure your children grow up in a Yerushimayim or the Hashem. This white light represents everything that's special and precious in life. This white light is also that part of you that's closest to Hashem. And the Shamash of the Mochi is at the top of your head, closest to Hashem. It's that part of you that Hashem places life into you every moment. And you can feel this koach inside of you as you once again feel your pulse beating inside of you. The life that goes through this white light can now be felt in your pulse. And you realize that inside of you there's an inner river of life that is flowing throughout your body. And this miracle of life is feeding billions of cells every moment within you, giving each cell exactly what it needs and when it needs and how it needs it. This is the source of chias within you, giving you the ability to see and to think and to live. And this is the sound of the pulse. But the pulse is also a messenger of your heart. And it carries feelings of the heart. So when you are feeling anxious, that feeling of anxiety is felt in your pulse. And when you're feeling tense, you can feel it in your pulse. And perhaps you may have a headache. And that headache is caused by the tension of your pulse so frequently. So wherever it may be felt in your body, tension and anxiety, maybe fear, maybe panic, maybe waking up in the middle of the night with nightmares. You can feel this tension in your pulse, and you'd like so much to quiet yourself down, to quiet down the fears, to quiet down the anxiety, to feel calm inside. Calm your pulse. So I'd like you to imagine that you can see a mountain in the distance. And the mountain is covered with ice and snow. And as the sun begins to shine on the mountain, you can see and imagine the ice and snow melting on the mountain and flowing down the sides of the mountain. Pure crystal waters. And as you see the waters running down the side of the mountain, you can actually feel the tension within you begin to melt and drip from your fingers, from your eyes, from your face. You can actually feel the tension melting. And I'd like you to imagine that your pulse has a voice, and it says to the white light, "You white light, you have so much chokhmah, you have so much wisdom, you're so tohar, teach me how to be calm, teach me how to be quieter, teach me to relax. I surrender all that I am to you. And as you say this, you feel yourself feeling calmer and more relaxed. Just like the waters are flowing down the sides of a mountain, you feel the tension within you draining from you. And as it drains, you can feel the white light in your head begin to move like soft, sweet, liquid honey, warm honey. You can feel it moving down your, behind your eyes, softness and the sweetness behind your nose, your mouth, your jaws. Then you can move it down your neck, and your arms, and your elbows, and your fingertips. And it moves down different parts of your body. From the upper part of your body, your stomach, your legs, your knees, and your toes. It's gentle, liquid, warm, sweet honey. Fills you with a sense of tranquility, shalom. And you realize that from the top of your head to your fingertips, to your toes, that there's this gentle white light. And the Shama Shiva Mokri brings warmth and tranquility to your whole group. And this is the matana that the Rosh Hashanah gives you to be this way. Whenever you wish, calmer, clearer, or gentler. But this is the real you. This is the you that Hashem wants you to experience. This is the garden that exists within you. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes, or you can keep them closed for as long as you wish. So that is the experience, the meditation at the pulse of life. You'll find that as you use it yourself, whatever it takes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes to use, you'll find that it relaxes your muscles, it quiets your anxiety, it quiets phobias. I had someone tell me that they would wake up in the middle of the night with stomach cramps. And they thought Mama should have been in bed. And they didn't think anything could help them in the course of life. And it helped wonderfully well. Having come back a long, long time. There are so many different applications. But it's important that you use it first on yourself a number of times over a number of weeks until you really get it down. You should use the recording first to remember it, to guide yourself, and then you can do it yourself. Once you do it yourself, it can take a much shorter period of time. There's another way to use the pulse, and that is simply to, when you're feeling tense, you can lie down and just put your hands on your temples and just count your pulse over and over again, and you'll find yourself relaxing. So, teaching you this pulse exercise is very important because when you meet with someone, you have a sense of how tense this person is. And this person may not even be aware of how tense they are, or they may be aware of how tense they are and have never been able to do anything about it. They may have even taken some medications, some Xanax. I don't know if they have Xanax in Israel, but some other kind of medication that people use. But here we're giving them an ability to take control, to be sholeh over themselves, to learn how to quiet themselves down. I gave the mashal a number of weeks ago of the child who says, Tati, there's a boogeyman in the closet. And Tati comes in and sings a Malach HaGoel, the sixth parsha, and he quiets him down. So here we're teaching people how to quiet themselves down. It's a wonderful matana that you're giving somebody. So over the years, I've been very grateful to Malka Tolta and Ronshom for giving me the opportunity to learn this exercise. And it only came out of that particular moment when that person was not able to daven in shul after the tragic death of Ilan Ramon and the crashing of the space shuttle. So what we've done here, just to put everything in perspective, in the schools, we have learned how to focus our thoughts, our negative thoughts, by using the principles of Bechira, of Chiddush Bechira in Mishkan. The person has negative thoughts. How to quiet them down without fighting them. And then we learned the art of centering, how to center our guf, our body, to give ourselves a sense of the neshama of meshi that we feel in our fingertips. The pulse of life now, what that pulse does, the pulse of life gives us an internal feeling. See, centering doesn't make us feel calmer, so that we're not bouncing from one corner to the next. But the pulse of life enables us to feel a sense of internal calmness. In the dialogue between the pulse and the white light, the pulse, which represents the guf, speaks to the white light and says, teach me. Neshachnea myself to you. I surrender myself to you. I want you, white light, Neshama Shebamochi, to be stronger than guf. Why? Because as I said at the beginning of this program, just as Hashem is the center of the universe, Hashem places the center in us, and that is the neshama, and the neshama shebamochi. He places it in us. And that has to be the balabas. That has to be that guiding force, that regulating force within us. When the goof is the regulating force, it doesn't have no understanding. It has no seichel. The goof will always lead us in the wrong direction. The pulse by itself, when it will always lead us in the wrong direction unless it's guided by the white light, by the neshama shevamochi. I give an example of a person who has a transplant, and so after waiting many years, Baruch Hashem, he's able to get a transplant. He goes home from the hospital a few days later. His body is rejecting the transplant. So imagine him saying to his immune system, don't attack the new liver, because without it, I'm going to die. So the immune system says, listen, we have our, we call it Rosh Katan, right? We have our orders. There's a nochri here. We gotta attack. We gotta get rid of this. But if you get rid of this liver, we all die. No. The guf doesn't know any chokhmahs. The pulse doesn't know any chokhmahs. Then the neshama knows chokhmahs. Then the neshama is able to see from one end of the world of the universe to the next. The neshama is what has to be in charge of our functioning. So in those situations where a person's anxiety is distorting or impairing their functioning, because they can't go out on a date and they can't and they don't sleep well or they get stomach aches or chuli v'chuli, we want to return the guf to be under the shilton of neshama and neshama shiramati. And that's what this whole exercise is about. So I think that's about what I wanted to teach you today. Now I've turned on that function that I believe you'll be able to talk to me and ask me questions. So I'd like to see if we can get that to work. Pesach, are you there? I can okay. So I'm going to unclick the mics and to see if I can hear you and ask. Unmute. So I've unmuted you, Pesach. Good. Okay, and this is Vertica. I've also unmuted you. If anybody would like to ask me any questions, hello? I can hear you now. Okay. We can use a chat function, yes. You can type in questions to ask me over the chat function, yes. That came in from Sarah from Beit Shemesh. Please do. I believe that everyone is unmuted now. Do either of you, any of you have any questions?
Yes, Sarah, in Yerushalayim, we have a question.
Yes, please.
At what age do we do it with children and adults?
Okay. The answer is I don't know. I have taught centering. It's something very interesting. I'd like to start teaching it to children. But I've never done it. I've taught centering to children, but I've never taught the pulse exercise to any children. I rarely work with children, but I think it's very important to try to teach it to them. I've taught it to adolescents, the kids who are 17 and 18. But I haven't taught it to anyone younger than that.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello? Yes, please. Once you teach centering to somebody, yes, hello? Yeah, once you teach centering to someone, they can, what I do is I tell them, now that I've taught it to you, I want you to go home and practice it. I want you to practice it in as many places as possible. And have them use it throughout the day. I had a young woman in here earlier today, who has a very difficult time with her father, who has, been very cruel to her at times. So I'm not having her use the centering with her father. She will learn to use it. Right now, I taught it to her today, and she's going to go home and use it with her kids. And she's going to go home and use it with her husband. No one knows that she's using it. She can teach. She can tell them later. But right now, I tell her not to tell anybody. She's doing something that's behind their backs. And then after that, I tell her to call me and give me her experiences. And then gradually, I help her use it with those people who were more of a threat to her, such as her father. But they should start using it immediately. Yeah, please. Yes. Well, the answer is, I have people who have gotten off medication. It's not necessarily my goal, because it depends how severe it is. Yes, because it's a very gradual process, and you don't want to, and you don't want to guide anyone to get off of it. My shita is that I teach them the program one session at a time, and then they tell me they're ready to make any suggestions. I wait for them to tell me what they want to do. Now there's another question from Beit Shemesh, from Sarah in Beit Shemesh. Is there a special significance of using the white light to represent in the Shema? I also want to thank you for the centering. You're very welcome, which I use very successfully this week. When would you choose to use the centering exercise, and when would you use the pulse exercise? Very good. So the white light, the white light came actually from a book that I read, written by a doctor and oncologist who used it. Originally, it had an element of probably some kind of Eastern meditation. I discussed it with a postdoc who told me that I could use the white light. But later I realized that when I began to understand this concept of neshama shivamochi, that I felt that the white light was a very good image. It's warm, it's soft, it's gentle. Neshama shel meshi. If we can use the concept of neshama shel meshi, we certainly can use the concept of the white light. Alpidin is nothing wrong with it, and I think it's very helpful. When do you use pulse? The other question she had is, when do you use pulse and when do you use centering? Centering is used for interpersonal communications. In other words, centering, I will teach somebody, let's say a boy who has a sense of deep embarrassment because he suffered a terribly embarrassing moment, and he can't walk through the Beis HaMedrash. So I will teach him to be centered and to walk through the Beis HaMedrash, quieting down his sense of embarrassment. That's interpersonal, that's social. Centering is always social. So I may be centered even when I'm talking to this group. I may be centered. Or I may be centered when I'm this person I taught how to daven and be centered, right? The pulse does not have to be interpersonal. The pulse has to do with what's going on inside of you, how to contain those deep personal impulses, feelings, anxieties, fears, stomach aches, headaches, back aches. I've used it for everything, stuttering, as I say. So it's more of a way of learning how to be in touch with that deeper shorish of self within. Not aware of it because you're involved in a social environment. You can't be that aware of your deeper self when you're in that social, but what you're aware of is the balance that you have in your fingers. That's what you're aware of. In the pulse, you're aware of that deeper because your eyes are closed, you're feeling the pulse, you're breathing, you're feeling all of the things that we're talking about. So when I see somebody has an ongoing sense of anxiety, when I see somebody has maybe a stomach ache, somebody is dating, right? And they get stomach aches. I'll teach them the pulse and I'll use the exercise to focus on feeling calmness, right? In their stomach. When I go through the pulse, I'll say, your pulse can send feelings of anxiety and making your stomach muscles contract. I'll say that. And then when I do the white light flowing through the body, I'll focus it on the stomach. You can feel the softness of that honey in your stomach, softening your stomach muscles. That's how I would do it. In the situation of the boy who was, the young man who was stuttering, I did some research and found that the voice box, what happens is it's a social thing, the voice box closes in the sense it becomes freezes. So I focused on the voice box and I told him to feel how the pulse is tense around his throat, and then I used the image of the mountain and the honey to create a softness in his throat. Good, you're welcome. Now, do we have a book that discusses the quieting exercise? Yes, the book, both the Manuka principle in dating and in marriage, both have. I give the pulse exercise, and the new book as well. I'll have the pulse exercise. And for those of you, and then you'll have the pulse exercise on the recordings that we're making. So you'll have that as well. Any other questions? Okay. So if that's it, then let's call it a night. I thank you very much for participating. It was always an honor to share this with you. Hope you have a very wonderful week. And please, I must ask you, please, practice everything I'm teaching you. Practice principles. I tell people when I teach the principles, write them down. Hashem, you're machadish me every moment. Hashem, you want me to place my life in your loving hands. Hashem, you want me to be a mukam. Write it down and practice it. Centering, practice centering as much as you can. It makes a tremendous difference. It's a wonderful thing to use. And the pulse, you can practice on it as you go along. You need to devote 10 minutes, do it once a day to begin with. Practice it on your wrist, practice it on your neck, and practice it on your head as well. So with that, I wish you all a very wonderful weekend. Mes Hashem, we will meet again next week. We will. Bye-bye.